American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, January 13th, 2005. And I got to tell you that I am more pissed off than I can possibly put into words, and that's saying something for someone with my particular vocation. I spent the day yesterday trying to get my passport sorted out, but you'd think that, you know, getting a passport wouldn't entirely be this huge procedure, and I've got my paperwork in order. I guess it must take weeks to get your passport in order. As it sits, I have to go get some clergy to sign some documents to say I am who I say I am, and my pictures have to be signed so that, you know, the clerk obviously can't look at the picture and see that it's me. It's got to be sure that it's a likeness of me, and oh, it just goes on and on and on and on about all the crap that they have to do. They'll red tape you to death when you try to get your passport, and that's what ticks me off. But I will do what I have to do. I've had to phone into work. That'll be 2 days in a row, so I have lost wages, and plus the wages that I will have to spend in order to pay for the privilege of being allowed to leave the country, which is, you know, gradually becoming more and more as the more and more difficult as the walls go up. Be that, you know, even though they're not physical walls, you can bank, those walls are still there. And they're getting thicker and higher all the time. So that's what Newsreel's about. Newsreel's about making sure that you know just how difficult things are going to be getting in the next little while so that you have a good opportunity to stay one step ahead. Got some feedback from the other shows. Let's see now. Dear Sean, well, I'll be a motherfucker. I spent 2 hours researching the India protest story. That's the story where Coca-Cola was poisoning the ground and all the people in India had this huge protest and they got the police to assault them. And the police are essentially the army for Coca-Cola. And someone thought that I was lying for some reason, or, you know, they wanted to check something, which makes me feel really good. I'm glad that people check some of these stories. That's why I provide links for you to check it out. And if I'm reporting flawed information, I need to know about it. I'm not afraid to say, no, I was wrong. People are wrong all the time. Dan Rather was wrong. Anyway, it says, I spent 2 hours researching the India protest story, and I'll be damned if it isn't legit. Firstly, I finally got some confirmation of the news article. Notice that not a single one of these comes from the mainstream U.S. media source. Why the hell? Why isn't there at least an archive footnote somewhere? I want to research Coca-Cola some more someday. Anyway, here's the confirmations. He goes on to list it, and that's from Drake's buddy Enosh. Because in Enosh, I guess I said that wrong, but I guess Drake told his friend about a story, and he went, bullshit, Coca-Cola never did that. Now he's trying to find out more research on Coca-Cola. But you've got to bear in mind that when you're dealing with a force like Coca-Cola, in name recognition around the world, the top three names are Coca-Cola, God, the United States. So anyone who's more known around the world than God is, you've got to bear in mind these people have some really serious power. And as well, like so many other types of trade, it was all based in what? Drugs. That's right. The note that there used to be cocaine in Coca-Cola to make it more addictive and so on and so forth is all completely true. You can research any of that. But of course, when you start poking around with Coca-Cola, you know, they'll send the big guns after you because, you know, they're one of those megacorps that can they can do that sort of thing. You know, they can get the cops on side and they got the money to throw around. And with that kind of cash floating around, you know, well, why does anyone have to do anything? Why do we have to, you know, even remotely be honest with anybody? The laws are for the little people and we of the giant multinational conglomerations and the core political. Well, we don't have to follow those rules because we've got a lot of money. We've got some other feedback here. Dear Sean. Yeah, this is going to sound like I am bitching, mainly because I am a bitch. Mainly because I am a bitch, but I live in a trailer park. And let me get this right here. Yeah, this is going to sound like I am bitching because mainly I am bitch, but I live in a trailer park and listen to the rant radio shows. And Sean thinks that all trailer park livers are not smart, which is a common misconception. So I just wanted to clear up that someone in a trailer park is not only a fan of rant radio, but is not stupid. One of many fans, Lenny. We'll just call him Lenny. Hey, Lenny. I was so wrong. I'm very sorry. I guess what I said there, just to be absolutely certain, was not that I think that all people in trailer parks are stupid. What I say is people in trailer parks have a trend to be stupid, and that isn't their fault. It's not like they have a lot of access to information. It's true that with the internet entering into the trailer parks, people now in lower income areas like trailer parks, also like there's a place just down the street from us we call Crack Terrace. It's actually known as Terrace Park or Park Terrace, but we call it Crack Terrace because it's very low income housing. And more computers are getting into low-income housing so that people have access to information and can figure out, you know, just what is really going on. And in no way do I fault people who are not educated for, you know, not having an education. I'd be a pretty big dick if I did that. So, Lenny, I'm sorry if you thought I was calling you stupid, which is not... Stupid is a totally different kettle of fish. Stupid is when you make a judgment that you know to be flawed simply because your ego is in the way. That's stupid. Making a judgment because you haven't got the data to make a more accurate evaluation, well, that's not stupid, that's ignorant. And there's a difference there. And a lot of people think, oh, wow, now you're calling them ignorant. No, they're just uneducated. And that is what the core political state wants. They want peasants. They want uneducated workers. I mean, last thing they want is to have, you know, a bunch of people working in a factory who know what the hell's going on and understand concepts of rights and organization and unionization and all that kind of jazz. That's the last thing any of these guys want. They want everybody to be nice and stupid. And on Friday, they'll give us our drugs and we get to go out and watch TV and get nice and drunk and try to blow off some steam and, you know, figure out what it is that we want to do with our lives. And we'll just be distracted. You know, we won't have to, you know, really think too much. And then back at work on Monday morning. That's what makes us consistent, because consistency is the drug of the New World Order. Everybody wants us to be consistent and consistently good, so therefore getting rid of the events of being, you know, alive and stuff. Moving on to my sort yourself out. You know, it's really great when I have to give advice when I'm in a pissed off mood because I've been screwed over by the government all day, because you know that my voice is going to be particularly savage. So let's get right into it here. Dear SK Newsreel, love the new show. Took the liberty of burning Newsreel shows 1-7 on audio CDs along with some old rants that you have cooked up over the years to be freely distributed to the public. You truly are the fucking man. Keep up the good work so I can distribute it to others. Photo is attached. And it's true, he did attach a photograph of the DVDs that, or they were DVD cases, and he was handing them out. That is the best news I've heard all day. Because people who cannot donate to the cause and keep me on the air and stuff like that, you are doing just an amazingly great work by distributing the media, because that's what it's all about. Unlike other corporations where they say, no, you have to pay us for every scrap, I rely on the donations of my listeners, and then everything I make I give to you freely to do with as you see fit. And the more you give them out, the more you hand them around, the more everybody learns. It's a win-win scenario all the way around. So thank you very much. Before we go any further, life advice topic for Sean. This is for the sort yourself out section. I'm having a hard time knowing who I can trust as friends. I come from a relatively small town in blank, Kansas. Society is just shit down here with people cloned upon one image, one social norm, you might say. I can literally sit in a conversation that goes nowhere and no one is saying anything. Sports and such are breads and circuses that get the viewer not to care about real issues. I have friends. Many think they need to be accepted in a culture of underage drinking and stupid behavior, quote-unquote cool stuff. But I don't think I can trust some as friends. I feel I'm going crazy. I expect friends are talking shit behind my back. Maybe I'm fucking paranoid. Do you have any advice in sorting out this mess? Longtime listener, Deadly22. Okay, Deadly, here's the score. Chances are, if you're underage, which is what I'm getting from this letter here, the friends you have now aren't really sure of who they are. You don't really know, well, a lot of people don't know who they are until they're about 30 or so, but you don't even have a prayer of knowing who you are until you're about 25. Now, some people get out living on their own and have to develop themselves into more of a conscious being by the time they're 20, 21, whatever. And Uncle Dak told me one time that you shouldn't even count as a human being until you're 25, and I thought that was really offensive when I heard that, and I was under 25. What is a better way to say that is that you will be going through a lot of developmental changes between the ages of about 17 to 25. So your friendship circle may or may not change. If you keep any of your friends from the age of 17 on, they will be friends for life, quite probably. But, I mean, a lot of your friends are trying to figure out who they are at the same time, too. If you want to make sure that you're not going to get screwed over, play your cards close to your chest. You know, only talk to people who you trust, and you have to trust certain people. Now, if you're unsure, people are talking crap behind your back, let them talk. They can't hurt you. Words are just words. Words aren't real. You know, if they claim you're a horrible person. Now, when you're in high school, that's a big deal because people harass you because everyone's bored in high school and everyone wants something to talk about. So you want to be a topic of conversation. So if you're worried about, you know, the flame war of everyday life, just don't get involved. Just don't get involved. Like, yeah, well, whatever. Well, are you going to deny it? No, I don't care, man. Believe what you want to believe. It's not true. Whatever. Well, he said this. She said that. They said this. Great. I don't like them. They can say what they want. It's not true. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Goodbye. Now, a lot of people know that I apply this particular procedure in my own life. If I'm involved in a scenario that I don't want to be involved with and things are creating too much stress for me, I simply walk away. Turn my back, walk away. Why? Because fighting solves nothing unless you can make decisive action. Unless it's going to turn violent, there's no sense in barking at each other because all that turns into this posturing and all the rest of it. So if you're not willing to, like, you know, beat the living snot out of somebody for a particular ideal, and those are things reserved to, like, personal freedoms, you know, the life of your family, stuff like that, it's not worth fighting about. Some things are worth fighting about. Aforementioned personal freedoms, rights, all that kind of jazz. But to me, you know, like today, for example, I was on the SkyTrain, bought a ticket, which is like the same as an L or a Metro or a Subway or something like that. And then the SkyTrain cops got on and they're like, hey, where's your ticket? And I said, I, of course, having a million pockets, I had a problem finding it. So I said, no problem, I'll just jump off next stop and tell you. Okay, well, give us your ID. And I said, why should I give you my ID? Am I required by law to give you my ID? And when I asked it like that, they all looked at me like no one had ever asked them if they were required by law to give me the ID. And the guy said, well, this can either go the hard way or the easy way. Which, what the hell does that mean? You know, oh, well, so I'm not supposed to give you my ID by law. So I handed him my ID anyway to show I wasn't a threat. But these people do not like to be questioned. It's not that, you know, you're required to give people ID. It's that you know, you're expected to. And everyone is expected to act a certain way. You feel pressured right now in your situation because you're expected to act a certain way. You're expected to fit into the Kansas mold. Okay, well, guess what? You're not going to fit into the Kansas mold because you're different. Everybody's different. Some people are comfortable with being different. Other people try to crush it out of their system. Other people try to, you know, medicate it away. No one wants to accept the fact that we are all individuals and we are all alone. It is the human condition. So we seek to, you know, be accepted by our peer group and so on and so forth. So my advice to you is to play your cards close to your chest. Don't tell everybody a whole lot of stuff about yourself, except for the people you care about. Work on a closed core group of friends, maybe two, three people, and max, that you trust and you hang out with. And if you're worried that everybody else is talking crap, just don't talk to it. Don't get involved. You know, it's just words. And when they realize that you're not fighting back, they'll find somebody else to go play with or mess around with or make their lives a living hell. So I hope that helps you a little bit with that. As for everyone else who's into Bread and Circus, the only thing you can do is casually bring up things in conversation that... you pretend like you just found out. You say, you know what, I just found out, I found out NutraSweet's bad for you. That's crazy. And they'll say, really? And I'll say, yeah, I didn't think so either, even though you knew full well it was bad for you. Things like that, things where you can just start conversations and people know that, wow, that's really neat that you got all this. Where are you finding out about all this stuff? Oh, well, you know, there's this show, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure, I'm shamelessly plugging. But the fact is that if people had more things in common, like either a TV show, like how many times do you talk to people about role-playing games or Star Trek or TV shows? Not just the weather anymore. Certain people have things in common. So even the rant community is proof of that. Everyone's got rant radio in common. Everyone has certain things in common from the group, the IRC, everything. And this gives everyone like a point of reference. And that's great. And I enjoy that. And I think people should do that. And I don't see anything wrong with it. But if you're in a limited community where it's very small, then you're probably going to find, especially if you're a rant fan, that you're not going to fit in too well. So I would just recommend being gray, fading in the background for now. Try not to make too many waves. Just let these people do their things. You don't need them. And if they don't need you, that's fine. You can do your own thing. You don't need anyone but you. Now, as for the underage stupid behavior, well, go with your guts, man. You seem to know what's going on here. You're not actually asking me for advice here. What you're asking me for is confirmation. Okay, don't start a flame war, and don't get involved with a flame war about words and all that crap. It's just garbage, and all I can do is just tangle you up. An argument is two people yelling about something they know nothing about. Just let it go and do your own thing. Now, there's been some more stuff in the news about the Iraqi prison torture scenario. Now, as we all know, there's a few people in government who think the Geneva Convention is quaint. And it's, you know, outdated and all the rest of it. Well, I hate to tell you this, but unfortunately, the Geneva Convention are the rules of warfare, which is funny because there are no rules in warfare. They are rules that are put in place so that after the war ends, you can determine who's a war criminal and who's not. This is to somehow make war less horrible, you know, as if there's some kind of rules to war or something like this. I think the Geneva Convention is a good idea. And I think the Geneva Convention is a good way for governments to be able to take the moral high ground in a conflict. You know, when you're being attacked and all this kind of stuff, you want to remain the good guys. And so to remain member of the good guys, you adhere to the Geneva Convention. I don't believe the United States signed the Geneva Convention, so I don't know what the big fuss is about the Geneva Convention, because I don't believe they actually signed it. I could be wrong there, but I seem to remember reading that somewhere. Now, in a situation when you are dealing with an enemy and there are lives on the line, sometimes you have to torture people to get information. That's horrible. I know that. But let's be real here. That's why it's called war. That's why you avoid war at all costs. You avoid war because it's hell, because innocence is the first casualty, and because there are no rules. I think it's horrible, and I think war is absolutely, you know, wretched and deplorable. And I wish the Geneva Convention could be upheld. But the reality of the situation is that the Geneva Convention cannot be upheld when fighting an enemy who does not agree to the Geneva Convention, because then the Geneva Convention becomes a hindrance to you. This, I'm sure people are going to be very angry about, yada, yada, yada. And yes, there are those that claim, well, if you start torturing prisoners and whatnot, it shows that when these prisoners are returned, they tell horror stories and it can create years of conflict and all the rest of it. But in the bottom line, if you need to get information out of people and you have to be certain you're telling the truth and there's lives on the line and they're your people's lives, yeah, you torture. That's what you do. It's happened since time began. It will continue to happen no matter how much paperwork gets signed or not. Now, for people calling, you know, these Iraqis who were, you know, put stripped naked and had leashes on them and all this kind of jazz, and they stacked them up like naked pyramids and all the rest of it, and this is somehow torture, I think people need to do some research into the Second World War and find out what was going on in some of these Japanese camps if they want to know about torture. That's pretty mild in the torture category. You know, well, it's cultural and blah, blah, blah. Dude, these people weren't physically hurt. Yeah, okay, there's a guy with some electrodes hooked up to his nuts. I'm sure he danced a good dance. But is he wounded? Is he permanently maimed? Well, sure, he's got some psychological trauma, but when you compare it to torture that's been executed in war in the past, these people are getting off relatively light. So it's something that we need to look at to say, well, you know, so what are you saying here, Sean? What's your opinion on this torture thing? I think it's totally detestable. I think it's totally detestable and totally deplorable, but I also think it's probably necessary. I mean, maybe there's a more civilized way to do it. Maybe we can, you know, shoot them up with drugs and get them to tell the truth sodium pentothal-wise, so you don't have to have some son of a bitch go to work on them with a straight razor and a blowtorch. But in war, see, you got to be careful. They're trying to make war not so savage. This is why, you know, otherwise they wouldn't be able to recruit anyone. War is a savagely horrible, brutal thing. Brutal, brutal, horrible. It is the worst thing imaginable is war. And when we try to, you know, dumb down war and make it not that way, somehow we make it more agreeable and we're more likely to go into war. We forgot what war was in North America. Now we're knee deep in that shit. And we need to get our people out. The war is stupid. We're losing people. This is the war is not going well. They need to figure out a way to either win that war outright, which they're not going to do, because you're not going to be able to occupy the land. You're occupying territory, and you're just going to get nickeled and dimed to death. And that's what's happening. So if that's not going to work, suck back. Suck back, or, you know, you got to figure out a way to win this sucker. Or get your people out, because right now the war is going very, very badly. And the fact that they're torturing Iraqis, well, that's one of those things that happen in war. I'm sorry about that. And I'm sure that there's, if that's all they get, where they just get to be led around on leashes and stuff like that, I think they should count themselves very, very lucky. That's just me, though. I got some another interesting tip here for my news, which I don't know if this is news, but it was neat. It's got sent to me by Gothic Serpent. And there's a link to it off my LiveJournal. All my news links, of course, can be found through LiveJournal. Go to my LiveJournal site, and you'll be able to check it out. Just do a search on LiveJournal for Sean Kennedy. My journal is called I Free Slaves. And just check it out, and you'll be able to get the links of every show that I do. All the news links are right there. And this is from Gothic Serpent, which says, the designers of some elevators include a hidden feature that is very handy if you're in a hurry or it's a busy time in the building, like checkout time in a hotel. While some elevators require a key, Others can be put into express mode by pressing the door close and the floor button that you want at the same time. This sweeps the car to the floor of your choice and avoids stopping on any other floor. That's kind of nifty. When I saw something like that, I was thinking, you know, that's really cool. And I wanted to get that out to everyone. So, you know, those listeners of the show are suddenly able to move a little bit more freely in buildings. And after all, you know, all you got to do is watch a few spy movies and see where something like that could be pretty applicable. I thought it was neat. I thought it was cool. Now, there's a great news article I got from Sylvanus from Nova Scotia saying that bloggers, of course, are, you know, evil. As two prominent Washington journalists struggle to avoid jail time over their refusal to disclose confidential sources, one of the biggest obstacles that the reporters face is America's fast-growing army of citizen web bloggers, or bloggers. It's not that the town criers of the online world are campaigning to send Judith Miller of the New York Times and Matthew Cooper of Time magazine to prison. Rather, it's the blogger's very existence that undercuts the journalist's legal defense. Now, this is an interesting spin here, because we're online, we're undercutting journalist's legal defense. On Wednesday, lawyers for Ms. Miller and Mr. Cooper are scheduled to appear before a federal appeals court in the Capitol to argue that reporters should have legal privileges to have a legal privilege not to testify about their sources under most circumstances. A federal prosecutor investigating whether the White House leaked the name of a CIA operative, Valerie Plame, has asked the pair to appear before a grand jury to answer a question. They have refused. The crux of the reporter's contention is that the public would be less well-informed if journalists could not compromise their sources of confidentiality. However, the proliferation of blogs and bloggers could represent the Achilles heel of this approach. If Ms. Miller and Mr. Cooper are entitled to claim special treatment in the corps, so too could hundreds of thousands of Americans who use the internet to post comments about their views on current events. That would include myself as well, except for the fact that I'm in Canada. They'll say anybody with a modem and a computer is a journalist, said a professor of media ethics at the law of University of Minnesota, Jane Kirtley. No court is going to be comfortable with that sort of wholesale privilege. God, no, you wouldn't want people talking openly. What could come from that? You don't know where talking could lead. You know, it's not good to talk against the government. Ms. Miller's attorney, Floyd Everett, said he's bracing for questions from the court about perils of granting legal protection to the burgeoning ranks of bloggers. Burgeoning ranks. Army, military, you know, soldier, enemy soldier, terrorist. Bloggers, burgeoning ranks. There's no doubt that the potentially dangerous aspect of it. Potentially dangerous. There is no doubt that the potentially dangerous aspect of it, Mr. Brown said in a telephone interview at his Manhattan office yesterday. If everybody's entitled to the privilege, no one will get it. What the hell does that mean? It's like a right then, isn't it? If everyone's entitled to the privilege, nobody will get it. Yeah, because this is a right then, you frickin' moron. This is the whole point of free speech. Hello? Hello? Anybody getting this here? You know, there's no doubt it's potentially dangerous. It's not dangerous. There's no doubt that it's that the potentially dangerous aspect of it. The said is potentially, meaning it could be dangerous, but there's no doubt it could be dangerous. What the hell? Mr. Abram says he thinks many bloggers should be entitled to the same kind of protection is seeking for his client and other traditional journalists. I think blogger who communicates with and tries to communicate with thousands of people is no less deserving than a journalist who may communicate with a smaller audience through a small town newspaper, the attorney said. There should be protection so long as information was obtained for the purpose of dissemination to the public at large in some sort of analogous way what journalists do. So what would I be? Would I be opinion piece? Would I just be would I be shut up because I'm talking too much? Is that what's going on here? I really want to keep track of this. I really want to find out what's going to happen with this particular law, because it could mean the difference between a free speech society and a society where, you know, what you write on the internet could get you put in jail. And let's be real here. We're really watching the fall of Rome. This is really the great dreams of the American people are dying right now as we speak, because it's being legislated away. And we're all too busy watching The Swan and other plastic surgery shows where they butcher people on television. Or perhaps we're too busy watching the sports games, which is, you know, the gladiatorial combat where we watch these athletes destroy themselves and destroy their internal organs with steroids, and all for our enjoyment. You know, everything old is new again, and that's exactly what's happening here. And if you have any doubt about that, the coming police gate, I've got a great story about Eyes Front. Police, the police the police, actually, you know, because we all got the leash on and the people controlling it would be the police, so it's a police. But anyway, the police in Washington, D.C. are using new behavioral profiling methods to profile people riding the metro there. Officers are now targeting people who seem to be looking around the station more than other passengers. What the hell does that mean? Avoid eye contact or seem to be loitering in stations. What? If riders meet this criteria, which could be argued as anyone, the police are stopping them for questioning. So the police are just going into the subways and starting to question people at random. This is all part of security preparations for the upcoming second Bush inauguration. For everyone going to that Bush inauguration, going to cause problems down there. I think you're going to really get yourself in some crap. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed lawsuits to challenge a similar series of actions by police in Boston. Actions in Boston at Logan Airport. Past cases have indicated that race is not an acceptable factor to determining whether or not suspects should be questioned. Well, yeah, that's because it's not actually police work, then it's racism. Massachusetts officials defended their program. Oh, yeah, of course they did. No, oh, geez, what were we doing? Huh, what were we thinking? Logan's Behavior Pattern Recognition Program, whatever the hell that is, Logan's Behavior Pattern Recognition Program is specifically designed to ensure the protection of everyone's constitution and civil rights. Oh, you bet it is. You bet it is. Hey, what are you doing? You're looking around? Why are you looking around so much? The agency said in a statement, racial profiling is not an effective law enforcement tool and plays no role in behavior pattern recognition. Okay, that is happy horse shit, because you guarantee that the man on the street, the cop who's the soldier on the street, you betcha he's going to be looking at anyone who's not white. What are you, joking? You're at war with a country of people who aren't white. Of course you're going to be looking at people who look like they're from the Middle East. This is just insanity to think that a cop is not going to have some sort of bias towards that. What a crazy notion. The program has helped catch some pickpockets in the D.C. area. Really? Which ones? Where are they? And how many did you catch? And furthermore, what? You just went up and said, are you pickpocketing? They said yes. How the hell did this program help catch some pickpockets? Pickpockets hit their target and run. Since its implementation in the last 6 months, well, that's nice and vague, officers involved in the program are both plain clothed and uniform. You never know where they are. We've got agents everywhere. With the inauguration approaching, additional security measures will be taken, including the use of bomb-sniffing dogs and machines that may help screen packages. These machines that may help screen packages, but generally they're just there to terrify the shit out of people, but they may also help screen packages carried by passengers. Holy crap. Two metro stops will be closed during the inauguration itself. Because after all, the last thing we want at the inauguration is people, especially American people, talking about their leader, which was, ushered into the White House due to black box voting, which was a scam, and everybody knows it. So, you know, just keeping that posted there. It should be called Sean Kennedy's Obvious News, I know. But, another obvious thing is, ways to tell if it's time to get out of Iraq. You know, ways you can tell. In Modesto, California, one cop and a gunman are dead. It started as a seemingly simple and somewhat routine call Sunday night. A man was acting strangely at a liquor store. Well, no kidding. Moments later, a burst of gunfire echoed through the normally quiet neighborhood. One Saras police officer lay dying, another one critically wounded, and law enforcement was storming the scene by land and air. Helicopters hovered above as police ordered people to go inside, lock their doors, and turn off the light. Imagine that. You're in this little town of Saras, you know, in California, and all of a sudden there's choppers. Get inside, lock your doors, turn off your lights, stay indoors, remain calm. You know, what a terrifying notion. 3 hours later, another gun battle erupted, this one ending in the death of a 19-year-old Marine from Modesto, suspected of shooting the two officers. Altogether, the police and neighbors said Monday dozens of bullets flew, shattering windows and piercing vehicles as residents hunkered down in terror. Brap, 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 said Anthony John Phillips, a 15-year-old boy who lives in a block away, trying to describe the rapid gunfire. I was scared. It was crazy. Well, everything's crazy, kiddo. Get used to it. In the end, Saras Police Sergeant Howard Stevenson, 39, was dead. A law enforcement officer, 39 years old, sergeant, dead. Andres Rea, who police say he seemed determined to die rather than return to Iraq, was dead, and one Saris police officer, Sam Rhino, 50, was hospitalized with multiple gunshot wounds. He was in critical condition Monday, but is expected to recover, thank God. Monday, detectives from several law enforcement agencies and from the Saris police to the FBI sifted through events leading to Sunday's carnage. Officers were still struggling to figure out what drove Rhea to fire on the officers. It was a premeditated, planned, and ambush, Saris Police Chief Art DeWerk said. It was suicide by cop. Now, I've seen people who want to do suicide by cop. You know, believe it or not, I've had to wrestle with a couple of them. There was one great big Fijian dude that I had to fight with outside a fight club one time who's on six cycles of roids, likes to do coke, and took like six taser strikes before he hit the turf. There are people who think there's something glorious in causing permanent and irreparable damage to police officers by making them kill you. This is a bad idea. If you wish to kill yourself, kindly stay home and stretch your neck on your own. Don't wreck everybody else's night. Thank you very much. Try to have a little bit of consideration, even unto death. I, of course, everyone knows my stance on suicide. You know, it's probably one of my cornerstone pieces. But if you're going to do it, don't be an asshole about it. You know, at least try to have some decency. If you're going to be stupid enough to kill yourself, you may as well at least try to be somewhat considerate about it. Now, as to this poor fucked up kid who's 19 years old. So what? He came out of high school, thought he was going to be a big hero, joins the Marines, gets his brain nice and scrubby clean where he thinks he's the greatest death machine ever, and gets dropped off into the Middle East into a war zone that is beyond the comprehension of people in North America to understand. There is a fantastic book, which is available for cheap now, called Jarhead. It's written by a guy named by the name of Anthony Swofford. Okay? This book is it feels like, you know, when I read it, I felt like I was hearing my own voice. You know, it really mirrors that my experience in the Army was very similar to this book. I highly encourage, highly encourage anyone who's considering, you know, joining the military, being involved with the military, to pick up a copy of Jarhead by Anthony Swofford. And even the guy from Black Hawk Down, the fellow who wrote it, he said that this is destined to become one of the great chronicles of military life. So if you want to know what the Army's all about, Jarhead by Swofford, check it out. Amazing book. I'd make it required reading for everyone. And if you want to know even more about that, of course, there's On Killing by Lieutenant Colonel Steve Grossman, which is another just phenomenal book and should be part of everybody's military library. I think that we got to get those kids out of there. If not, get those kids out of there. We definitely got to make sure we're monitoring how these kids are dealing with, you know, having to blow away people and being under constant stress of being in Iraq. I mean, think about this. You're in an alien climate. You're in a wasteland surrounded by people who hate you and think you're the Satan of the universe. How much pressure can there possibly be there? How much pressure is involved? This is life-changing, you know, deranging stuff. This is stuff that makes soldiers insane. Very few people can deal with the agony that is associated with war. That's why it's war. That's why it's horrible. That's why we need to stop it. That's why we need to put an end to all this conflict over oil and take the money we're wasting on getting our children killed in the desert and instead put that money towards education and towards a viable means of alternative energy. And they're out there. They're out there. There are viable means of alternative energy, but nobody's pursuing. What happened to hemp? You can make everything you make out of gasoline and oil byproducts, you can make from hemp. Okay, fine, use the hemp that doesn't get people high, whatever. But no one's talking about that because the pulp and paper industry would go down the tubes as well. I swear to God, I don't understand. Are people just not pursuing these ideas because, you know, they're afraid to lock horns with big business and nobody cares that, hey, people are dying. Your children, a teenager is dying because he's lost his mind after being exposed by the ravaged by the horrors of war in a foreign nation. It's for what? For what? For a profit margin? For the oil prices? Come on, give me a break. And is there really an oil shortage? Let's get some numbers on this here. The Middle East isn't the only place in the world with oil, you know. There's lots of oil off the coast of Canada. There's lots of oil in some of the Alaskan fields. You know, plus there's a lot of other resources. What's really going on here? Why are we fighting so hard about this oil? And yes, every war is fought over resources, and I'm not, you know, totally naive here. But if you're going to fight this war, I mean, you got to find a way to stop getting your people killed. You're occupying a nation full of people who have their holy cause to remove you, you either have to kill everyone there or drive them from the land. And now we're getting really huge into the war criminal aspect. People used to say to me, hey, Sean, I remember what you were saying about nuking Mecca. Yeah, when people were, doing the suicide attacks in the United States, and I actually thought that these people were doing suicide attacks on the United States. If you want to break contact with a country, you say, look, guys, if you guys don't stop killing my people, I'm going to give you a 24 hours warning, and then I'm going to blow up a rock in the middle of your holy land. And yeah, it's a great cultural treasure and all that, but I'll bomb your culture and we'll destroy it. And you can stand around the rock and wait for it to be destroyed and therefore kill yourself, or you can just stop. That, I thought, was the most nonviolent, civilized approach rather than oppressing people day after day after day. It's war. It's horrible. It's wretched. It's completely savage. These people are attacking the United States, apparently, they say. Where's all these scary terrorist attacks? For all these, all this terrorism we're supposed to be afraid of, there doesn't seem to be a lot of it. I don't even think the original attacks of 9/11 were really terrorist. None of the math adds up. Neither does the math from the Oklahoma City bombings, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll just turn a blind eye to that, to the facts and the whole nine yards. We won't bother looking at that. So why exactly are we there? Get those people out of Iraq. It's deranging a generation of children. Get them out of there. We don't need it. Okay? There's a better way. There has to be a better way. Now, there was a hacker who was caught. Now, stories where hackers get caught are kind of, it's interesting to learn about how some things get hacked and whatnot. But when I hear about him getting caught, part of me feels bad, because this poor bastard is now going to go to hell, directly to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Hacker revealed. A sophisticated computer hacker had access to servers at a wireless giant T-Mobile for at least a year, at which he used to monitor U.S. Secret Service email, obtain customers' passwords and social security numbers, download candid photos taken by sidekick users, including Hollywood celebrities, and Security Focus has learned. This is from the Security Focus website. 21-year-old Nicholas Jacobson, who was 20, I guess, when he did it, was quietly charged with intrusion last October after a Secret Service informant helped investigators link him to sensitive agencies' documents that were circulated to an underground IRC chat room. So they leaned on someone in the IRC and they ratted him out, or someone in the IRC ratted him out, which is entirely possible. The informant also produced evidence that Jacobson was behind an offer to provide T-Mobile customers' personal information to identity thieves through an internet bulletin board, according to court records. Okay, so he's going to post something. That sounds like it's a pretty good spin there. He's going to put something on a bulletin board, and thieves were going to take it, or was he going to get paid for it, or what's the deal here? Jacobson could access information on any of the Bellevue, Washington-based company's 16.3 million customers, including many customers' social security numbers and dates of birth, according to government filings in the case. He could also obtain voicemail, PINs, and passwords, providing customers with web access to their T-Mobile email accounts. He did not have access to credit card numbers. Well, isn't that interesting? Because didn't even the top of the article, didn't I say he did have access to social security numbers? No, I guess not. Apparently, he had everything else but the credit card numbers. I call bullshit there. The case arose as part of the Secret Service's Operation Firewall, crackdown on internet fraud rings last October, in which 19 men were indicated for trafficking in stolen identity and information and documents and stolen credit and debit card numbers. But Jacobson was not charged with the others. Instead, he faces two felony counts of computer intrusion and unauthorized impairment of a protected computer in a separate unheralded federal case in Los Angeles, currently set for February 14th status conference. So, this guy, did he actually sell it, or was he planning to sell it? So he had access, he was planning on selling it, he was looking at people's emails, but did he sell anything? I don't think he did. He was going to sell some information, which is the same thing corporations do. So the act of selling information isn't illegal, even if he happened to acquire it wrong. Because they're the same, all these companies were, fill out this form and you can enter to win a cruise for another vacation. And you get phoned up by some, telemarketing scumbag who, tries to rip you off and all the rest of it. I feel bad for the kid, but, what did he do wrong here? Well, for one thing, he was obviously didn't have the experience to realize that you need to keep very, very low profile if you're going to be doing that kind of thing. So once again, make sure you encrypt and destroy that which you cannot keep secret. So that's just, my general sort of guideline for you out there. Now, There's some new bioterror. Yes, yes. Now, I'm not one to spread the terror, you know, craze that's sweeping the nation. Oh, everyone's a terrorist. God help us. Oh, the kingdom of fear. Well, apparently experts have deciphered the complete DNA sequence for one of the most infectious germs known to science. That's great. The Francisella tularensis bacterium is a candidate in bioterror weapons, as it takes just 10 microbes to bring on disease in humans. The genome sequencing work is already speeding up the research for a vaccine against the potentially deadly bug. An international team, including UK Ministry of Defence scientists, report their findings in Natural Genetics. There aren't any other pathogens I can think of that are more infectious, said co-author Professor Richard Tidball of the Defence Sciences Technology Laboratory of Portendown, UK. There aren't any other pathogens I can think of that are more infectious than this one. And this is being put together in bioterror. Now, for those of us who happen to listen to Coast to Coast and Art Bell and George Norrie and all those guys, we happen to know that there's an awful lot of microbiologists who are dying all over the country. Don't believe me? Do a little search on it. A lot of these microbiologists are kicking off. As well, with the human genome mapping, it is possible now to make an ethnic-specific virus. That is, a virus that only kills brown people, or black people, or white people, or what have you. Now, what do you suppose the cronies, the radical right, you know, the psycho-Christians out there who believe that they are truly God's chosen people, what do you suppose the likelihood is that they would release a virus like this to handle the whole concept of overpopulation? If everybody else around the world dies, then we're not going to be able to just move in there and take over their land and their resources and all the rest of it. I mean, why not? They did it before. They did it with the Indians, didn't they? They found something they were susceptible to. Oh, hey, give us your land in here. Have some nice blankets. Make sure you wipe out your entire tribe. America was founded on genocide. Yeah, that's right. America, North America, I'm guilty too. You betcha Canada's just as much to blame. North America is founded on genocide. So get your head out of your ass and realize that this is going to happen again. Why else would the Ministry of Defense scientists be working on this massively, oh, it's for protection? Give me a break. Give me a break. How high do you got to be to believe that? That's insanity. Obviously, they're going to be using this as a weapon. And each of these stories on their own are terrifying. But when you start combining them, my God, there's no telling what they're going to do with this stuff. Now, going with that Ford story, if you like that Ford story I did the other day about the Sinus, you know, the bulletproof car, concept car being rolled out by Ford, well, they're not the only ones looking to a future of people savagely tearing across the landscape and, you know, the whole after now concept. Two private U.S. companies, this is from Chicago, January 11th, according to Reuters, two private U.S. companies have designs on building the first luxury recreational vehicle that could withstand nuclear radiation. Parliament Coach Corp is a privately held company in Clearwater, Florida, which converts Prevost buses into high-end RVs, has partnered with the Homeland Defense Vehicles to offer consumers a luxury motor coach that can protect occupants against nuclear radiation from dirty bombs as well as biological and chemical attacks. Damnation Alley much? The idea is to offer the option on the pricey vehicles to consumers worried about terror attacks, officials for both companies said on Tuesday. Many people enjoy the RV lifestyle, but we also live in an era where people have some level of fear about terrorism, Parliament Chief Executive Harvey Mitchell said in a statement. These concerns about terrorism are linked to states where people with RVs like to travel. So the vehicles costing from $1.2 million to $2 million will be introduced a Wednesday at the Tampa Super RV Show in Florida. Isn't that nice? So as you are hearing this now, as you're hearing this yesterday, there was, this wonderful show where people could sign up to buy themselves their own little mobile armored tanks that they could drive across America after, you know, we lose the ozone layer and the massive throngs of starving hordes. You know, we're not going to share anything with them. No. We'll just drive through them with our $2 million motorhome And, of course, naturally, we'll have to have some automated defenses on there to keep these seething hordes of unwashed back from us. Parliament takes the Prevost buses, which are like transit buses without seats, and adds a luxury interior that sleeps from 2 to 4 people, while also providing such amenities as satellite navigation system and plasma televisions. Because you need that, you know? Now, $2 million for a Damnation Alley bus. Sure, I'd like to have one, but I don't like what the whole thing implies. I don't like where the whole thing's going, man. It's a little bit freaky to me. Don't you think it's a little weird? Don't you think it's kind of wrong? Don't you think that we should probably be trying to save things rather than planning for the eventual wastelands of dirty nuclear bombs? Or is it all just paranoid? Chances are it probably is. How many terrorist attacks have we really had? How many terrorist attacks have we really had? How many attacks have we had? Is it due to the due diligence and the massive loss of rights? This guy with a laser pointer doesn't count as a terrorist attack. I'm sorry. Furthermore, I don't even know if it counts as reality. Now, we're getting to an age where speech is dying. We're getting to an age where everyone's carrying around ID. We're getting to an age where stay in your homes, remain calm. It's turning into a police state, and it already is a police state, and it's getting more and more locked down. Just down the states there, there's somebody made a joke, and you can't make jokes for lawyers. No jokes for the lawyers. It happened this week. The founders of a group called Americans for Legal Reform who were waiting in line to get to a Long Island courthouse. How do you tell when a lawyer is lying? Harvey Cash reportedly asked Carl Lancira. His lips are moving, they said in unison. While some waiting to get to the courthouse giggled, the lawyer farther up the line Monday was not laughing. He told them to pipe down, and when they did not, the lawyer reported the pair to court personnel who charged them with disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor. He charged them with disorderly conduct for telling a joke that everyone knows. That is insane. Insane. It's a misdemeanor. You know, like, how is this possible? They just can't take it, Cash said, of lawyers in general. This violates our First Amendment rights. Yeah, it violates common sense, too. It violates, you know, just so many different things. This is wrong on so many different levels. While some waiting to get to the courthouse giggled, a lawyer farther up the line was not laughing. Well, it seems to me that this entire concept is a little bit wacko to me. I can't believe that a lawyer would waste the court's time. There's real criminals out there. You know, there are real scumbags that need to be stopped. There are people out there that need to be shut down by the cops. And we're people in lineups for the, you know, trying to do legal reform are not one of them. Dan Bagnulli, a spokesman for the Nassau County Courts, said the men were being abusive and they were causing a disturbance. Seems to me they were telling a joke. He said they did not have the name of the lawyer who complained. Well, then, how do you even know that happened? Where's the trail? How about it's all bullshit? Americans for Legal Reform monitors the courts and uses confrontational tactics to push for greater access for the public. Sounds good to me. The pair said that for years they've stood outside the courthouse on Long Island and mocked lawyers. Well, sounds like a good time. On Monday, however, Cash said he was due in court to answer a drunk driving charge from a year and a half ago. The men are due back in court on disorderly conduct charge next month. Can you say we're trying to send a message here? Can you say that this is just the lawyer saying we're in charge now? We're the ones who know what's going on. You don't have the right to free speech anymore. Look at this. We got kids committing suicide, wigging out because they don't want to go back to Iraq because Iraq is so unbelievably horrible. I'm a big supporter of the military, believe it or not. I think that it's important to have a strong military. But I feel very, very badly for any children who do not want to be over in Iraq. If you want to be there, there are soldiers clamoring who want to go there and are going to make a career out of what they do in Iraq. And these people are soldiers. That's their job. They're warriors, and that's what they do. And there's a place for them in society. And anyone who thinks differently needs to pull their head out of their ass. But there are also those who have no desire to be in Iraq. There are those who thought that being a soldier would be cool because they played a lot of video games, they put on the costumes, and they get dropped off in the middle of like a mud hut nightmare where they realize all of a sudden that, hey, you know what? This isn't what I thought it was. This is all happening right now. And of course, you know, the election, the scam that it was, there's like, what, 10 senators now saying that they want a recount because everything's screwed? They know that something went wrong? Evidence that is being presented in independent media is being totally ignored about black box voting, about the flaws in physics regarding the Pentagon and 9/11 attacks. None of these are being addressed. They're just brush. Oh, they're kooky, crazy ideas. No, they're not. They're not kooky, crazy ideas. Where's the tapes from the Oklahoma City bombings? Where's the videotape? Where's the videotape of the plane hitting the Pentagon? You mean to tell me there's no video or you got crappy video of that? They got cameras watching people in the Pentagon. It's the Pentagon. Hello? Most secure building in the world? And you mean to tell me no one happened to get the footage of a massive jet, a jumbo jet, a 747, 60-ton aircraft flying 300 feet off the ground at 400 miles an hour into the side of a building and then miraculously vanishing, leaving not even, not bodies, not engine parts, not luggage, 60 tons of matter just vaporized into a hole twice as small as it should be. Yes, absolutely. Magic bullet theory much. Never mind the JFK assassination. That shit is plausible compared to the Pentagon strike. I don't have all the facts. And I don't know what to believe, but I know what not to believe. And I do not believe that that attack occurred as the general story has been portrayed to the public of the world. And once you realize that, once you realize that they're lying, nothing else they say matters because they're not being honest with their own people. Hello? Anybody reaching here? Anybody getting this? Anyway, that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure that you get the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast. You are free to distribute this any way you see fit. You can make copies of it. You can rip it. You can hand it out. Please feel free to check my stories. Sean's full of crap. I can prove that there was a 747 that hit the Pentagon. Waiting. You just send me that information. If you can give me video links to a 747 hitting the Pentagon, I hope they did. I you know what? It sounds horrible, but I hope it did. I hope I'm totally wrong. I hope my facts are completely skewed, and I hope to God, you know, that a 747 really did hit the Pentagon. I hope it did. Never mind the fact that they were only supporting the one section of the Pentagon that happened to get hit. How fortunate is that? Come on. Come on. You know it's bullshit. You just don't want to believe it. But it's true. It's the truth. We know something's up. We've got to pull our head out of our ass. Sorry. This is a free broadcast, once again. I get so crazy about this. And it's brought to you by the generous donations of people who believe in freedom and freedom of speech and believe in what I'm doing. And those people are Jesse, Lars, Michael, another Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, T. Moore, Greg, Richard, WebLife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and another Matthew. Thank you so much for your donations. Some people gave a dollar, some people gave more than a dollar, but every little bit helps. It's what keeps us on the air and allows me to keep doing what I want to do. And as we get more and more people involved, if you can't donate, that's fine. That's fine. Why don't you tell more people about the newsreel? Distribute newsreel like the fellow did up at the beginning there, whose name I've already forgotten. Like, what is your name? Scroll faster, damn you. Scroll faster. Who is that doing the distributions? That would be Deadly22 for distributing the newsreel show. It makes me very happy when I hear people checking my work. I like being corrected. Okay, provided you correct me with facts, not with opinions or, you know, a different theory that you've come up with. That's fine, too. You know, if you got comments, you know, you want to talk about things, you know, I encourage that. Maybe we could set up newsreel groups. Maybe people could get together and talk about these news ideas. And there could be like little cell groups all over North America and the world finding information that they could like send to me and I'll record it as best I can and give it back to you guys so that everybody's on the same page. It's up to us to be informed. With the internet comes the responsibility to be for your own education. You know how to read. Don't be lazy. Don't sit there and wait for someone to pre-digest the news for you. I try to do it as best I can, you know. But really, you should be out there too. You should be having daily checks and multiple links, and you should be checking these things out. There's a lot going on in the world, and you need to help. And I just, you know, if you want to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on donate. And I'd like to thank the people who helped keep this broadcast on in other ways. The special reporters like Transix, Sylvanus, Zijian Machina, Krogoth Army, Ricky Rocket, Mega Progman, Ghoul, No Delete, Barbed Wireless, and Wog of War. And it seems that a lot of people are big fans of the digital baptisms. So I'm going to do some digital baptisms right now because, well, hey, why not? Gothic Servant, Gothic Serpent, you are now known as Rain Streak. Psycho Chick is now known as Razor Dancer. And if you want to have a digital baptism as of this show, you can email me and just say, I'd like a digital baptism. Give me your original name, not your actual birth name, because that would be pointless. But give me a name, even if it's a name you never use, so that you know who you are and the name that I issue out. It's kind of funny that I do that, and people seem to really like that. And it, well, I think it's, I enjoy doing it, to be honest with you. I think it's neat that people respect me enough to ask me to name them. I mean, there's a lot going on there with that kind of a statement. But for the reporters who helped me out, like Wagga War and all those guys, and everyone who sends me news stories, the ones I don't mention too, thank you so much for doing that, because really, Rant Radio, the internet, the cyberculture is a community. We do have to be responsible for each other, and we are our brother's keepers, whether we like it or not. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the background music, make sure you pick up the album Redemption by Imperative Reaction. Very, very cool group. I'm going to leave you now with a great tune from the Fight Club soundtrack, This Is Your Life. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts. Now imagine your pain is a white ball of healing light. That's right, your pain, the pain itself, is a white ball of healing light. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. This isn't a seminar, this isn't a weekend retreat. Where you are now, you can't even imagine what the bottom will be like. Only after disaster can we be resurrected. It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything. Nothing is static, everything is evolving. Everything is falling apart. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life, this is your life. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life, this is your life. It's spending 1 minute at a time. You are not a beautiful and unique snowflake. You are the same decaying organic matter as everything else. We are all part of the same compost heap. We are the all singing, all dancing crap of the world. Bank account. You are not the clothes you wear. You are not the contents of your wallet. You are not your bowel cancer. You are not your grande latte. You are not the car you drive. You are not your fucking khakis. You have to give up. You have to give up. You have to realize that someday you will die. You are useless. I say, let me never be complete. I say, may I never be content. I say, deliver me from Swedish furniture. I say, deliver me from clever art. I say, deliver me from clear skin and perfect teeth. I say, you have to give up. I say, evolve and let the chips fall where they may. Club. If this is your first night, you have